Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, has said it was fortuitous that there were no deaths after 14 people were found in a refrigerated container which docked at Rosslare Europort yesterday. It comes as an investigation is underway after 9 men, 3 women and 2 girls were discovered in a trailer on board the ship which was destined for the port. A 999 call was made to UK Emergency Services, which was made from the container, and that was passed on then to Irish authorities who met the ship when it arrived at Rosslare. And for more on this, I'm joined by Pádraig Byrne, who's a reporter with the Wexford People, and also Brendan Howland, Labour Party TD in Wexford. Pádraig, first to you to get a sense of how this unfolded. Talk us through what happened yesterday.
So I guess it's a quite a frightening incident, Claire, even to think what those people must have been going through inside that container. So as you rightly said, around 1 a.m. on Monday morning, an emergency call was made to the UK authorities. That person said that they were on board this container with 13 others. They were struggling for breath at that point, and it was becoming quite difficult for them in there. It's believed that they were in there for anywhere up to 28 hours. Supposedly, they had even tried to cut a hole in the container at this stage just to help them breathe properly. But once the authorities were alerted, an operation began. The crew were contacted on board the ship, and they began searching for which container these people were in. Thankfully, they managed to find the people and get them out. A large multi-agency response then took place in Rosslare when the ferry docked at around 3 a.m. And Gardaí and then several units from the National Ambulance Service were present to administer medical attention and that. But thankfully, I'm led to believe that everyone was safe and well. Those people who are mostly Kurdish nationals and some Vietnamese, I believe, they've been now taken to a processing facility in Dublin where, they, with the help of interpreters, they will be questioned on how exactly they came to make this arduous journey, and they'll have their documents and that checked ahead of any possible application for political asylum.
And can we read anything into, or is there any speculation around the fact that the call, first of all, went to the UK authorities?
I suppose we can only speculate at this stage, but maybe it is a thing that it seems to have been a fairly regular occurrence with these kind of incidents in Rosslare, that people boarding these containers and boarding the backs of these trucks tend to believe that they're heading towards the UK. So maybe that was the case in this instance. Maybe these people believed that they were destined for the UK. They were just off Land's End, off Dover, when the call came through. But obviously then, you know, they landed in Rosslare and they're now being processed in Dublin.
And in Rosslare, the port is far busier than it was pre-Brexit, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess like that's a major factor here at play. I guess with the explosion in traffic in Rosslare, it's only natural that we're going to see more of this type of activity and more in terms of drugs. We've had several high-profile drugs busts in recent times in Rosslare as well. I think we've gone from 6 assailants to the continent per week pre-Brexit to up to 36, I think, at the moment. So naturally enough, with that, there will be more opportunity for people who would seek to take advantage of that. I'm led to believe, you know, that this is not... It wouldn't be uncommon to have this type of thing happen in Rosslare. You know, I did an interview with the CEO of one of the biggest transport firms in Ireland, Perennial Freight, a couple of years back, and he mentioned to me at that stage that it was a near weekly occurrence that they were discovering people hidden away in trailers and containers heading over from France. So obviously there are concerns there, but I guess the authorities down in Rosslare are doing everything they can to deal with the obviously massive explosion in traffic that they're seeing down there, you know.
Pádraig, thanks very much for talking to us from the Wexford People. Brendan Howland, as I said, is with us as well. And Brendan, listening to people reacting to this morning, everybody obviously relieved that those people seem to be okay. But there are concerns that this type of occurrence is going to increase at Rosslare. Do you agree?
Good morning, Claire. Obviously, the overwhelming sense in Wexford is one of relief. People like myself who very well remember December 2001 when a container was opened at Wexford Business Park and 8 bodies of migrants from Turkey were found, including 4 children, the youngest of whom was a child of 3. And the horror of that. I remember I was up in Wexford General Hospital that day when the bodies and the survivors were brought in, and talking to really traumatised HSE staff, traumatised other Gardaí and so on who are on the scene, and a local priest, Jim Feegan, who really explained to me in detail the awfulness of that. And to be, you know, faced with that prospect again is really unimaginable. Mm-hmm. I remember a year later when there was a service to remember those families, and families came from Turkey, and the absolute grief. These are individuals with families, with lives, and for little infants to die in that way is just so unbearably painful. So the fact that we escaped that in Wexford for a second time is a sense, as I say, of relief. But it certainly heightens our awareness of what needs to be done to ensure that we don't face that again. Because somebody put these people into a refrigerated truck and sealed them in, obviously, if they had to cut their way out. The details will emerge in the coming days. But the brutality of that, the callousness, not knowing whether these 14 individuals would survive the journey, and obviously being done for profit, is just unimaginable.
Yeah, what can be done at Rosslare Port to guard against this happening, or to make sure that every container and every truck is checked?
Well, that's a very good point. Pádraig talked about the incredible increase in the volume post-Brexit, and that's a very welcome economic thing for the port of Rosslare and for the southeast generally. We have much more direct services as the old land bridge across the UK is less used, and 36 services a week means Rosslare is a very, very busy port now. And significant new infrastructure is being put in there now. The sod was turned last October on €170 million development to putting in permanent, customs facilities, putting in revenue facilities, putting in HSC and a new fixed scanner for containers coming in. So that will vastly improve things when it's all in place by the end of next year. And I should say, every cent of that has been paid for by the European Union, not by the Irish government. It's the Brexit Adjustment Fund that is paying for that. But that is all very welcome. But in the interim, can we improve things? Now, I spoke to the port manager this morning, and there is a mobile scanner on site, as you know, and they can't obviously scan every single container that's coming in. But he tells me that every single lorry is actually checked in the harbour before it leaves, because you have a peculiar situation right now where the main customs facility is actually outside the port on a temporary basis until the new facilities are built. But every container coming off any ship is actually checked, and where there is a suspicion of contraband or drugs, or obviously if there's any people smuggling, that is immediately addressed, I'm assured.
So checked but not scanned?
No. I mean, it's not possible to scan every single container.
Okay. Can we talk about the other issue in Rosslare? And Ger Carthy, the independent councillor there, was asked about this on Morning Ireland, the ongoing protests in Rosslare about the old Great Southern Hotel and the plans for it to become a location to house asylum seekers. Where do you stand on that?
Well, the bottom line is Rosslare has been the exemplar in terms of welcoming people seeking asylum. It has an existing international protection centre. The old Euro Lodge, some of your listeners might remember, is accommodating now 85 to 90 international protection applicants in Rosslare Harbour, and there's an application in for additional modular buildings there. Together with that, the other two existing hotels in Rosslare, Hotel Rosslare and the Dock Hotel, are now completely utilised for Ukrainian asylum seekers. And those two centres are accommodating another 260 Ukrainians. And there are other six bed and breakfast facilities that used to exist in Rosslare providing bed and breakfast that are also being utilised currently for Ukrainians. And the people of Rosslare have been incredibly supportive, integrating people into the local GAA, into the local schools, into local cultural events, and I've been at many of them myself.
Well, we took the programme to Rosslare and we saw for our own eyes what was happening there. But I just wonder how does that fit, Brendan, though, with what the Taoiseach has said and Minister Roderic O'Gorman, that no one gets to veto who lives in their community?
Now, I listened to Eamon Ryan this morning on Morning Ireland, and he talked about, you know, how we're going to meet this in a way that allows communities to continue in the exemplary way that Rosslare was. And it can't mean that you simply cut down all other economic activity so that in a place like Rosslare, there is literally no place for anybody else to stay. The 300 workers, for example, that are working on the port development now that I just mentioned, and none of those can be accommodated in Rosslare. If you want to go and take your family holiday to, you know, abroad, and you drive down and you say, I'm going to overnight in Rosslare, as many, many families did, there's right now no place in Rosslare to stay. And there has to be a reasonableness about the way we approach these things. Now, I've spoken to Roderick.
But this particular site, though, Brendan, was earmarked to be a nursing home. It wouldn't provide tourism accommodation.
No, and a nursing home is absolutely required there, and that's been a campaign ongoing for many years, and I've spoken to the developer there. He had hoped to build a nursing home and had planned to build a nursing home there, but obviously other economic inducements were put there, and it's not going to be a nursing home now, and that's a grave pity. But what I'm saying in general terms is we have to completely adhere to our obligations internationally to provide accommodation. The world is changing. It's a very dangerous place now. Climate change is going to impact, and we're going to have migration. But it has to be done not on the basis, as I've said, I've spoken to Roderic O'Gorman several times, and he seems to just simply have an imperative wherever a bed is available, I'm going to take it. And that can't be the mechanism. I mean, we've been promised...
But when you have refugees sleeping on the street, there's not much else you can do. I mean, you have to take every bed available.
Well, the bottom line is that he's promised for some time to build bespoke reception centres across the country. And that should be underway now. We haven't... in the last 2 years, it's been promised. We haven't had a sod turned on anyone, as far as I'm aware. And it can't be simply that we can, you know, look at a community, whether it's Rosslare or any place else, and every single bed, regardless of the consequences for the local economy, for the normal functioning of a community, for their ability to provide other facilities, none of these things are relevant. We have to have more than that myopic focus on beds. Okay. And I absolutely understand the pressures on Roderic O'Gorman. He has my enormous sympathy. And he will, from the Labour Party perspective, we support his very strong measures of integration. I think he's improved things in terms of providing better communications, but that has to be done in a joined up way.
Right.
Otherwise, we alienate the incredible goodwill of communities that I know very well, like Rosslare Harbour.
All right, Brendan Howland, thank you for joining us on the programme. Labour Party TD, and earlier we heard from Pádraig Byrne.